It's good to have everybody with us here tonight at the Shepherd Group meeting. Thank you for those other groups that are spending time with us tonight, again, like you have previously. Brother, Sister Simpkins, great having you and your group with us. Brother and Sister McMillan, it looks like. Dr. Morgan, Reverend Cosgrove, Brother Aldridge, I have not seen you with us here before. Brother Aldridge, blessing to you and your group. Wow. Out there in the North Platte area. Great to have you. Okay, amen. Well, we're going to get started here, and we just thank you guys for being with us. This is our, Debbie reminded me this is the fifth session we've had. And we just appreciate the Lord. We invite anybody who might hear this word that they can come down and be with us at 5 p.m. every Sunday on the corner of 24th and J Street here at St. Martin of Tours Episcopal Church. Just come in the door in the parking lot. The door in the parking lot is opened, and we would love to have you every Sunday at 5 o'clock and be part of us here and be with us here at Covenant of Grace Ministry. Amen. Let's pray. Let's go before the throne. Heavenly Father, thank you for your touch and your grace today. Thank you for your being with us and thanking you for guiding us. Almighty God, we pray, Lord, that you would touch us in this place and, Lord, in this time, minister to us both spiritually and physically and touch our spirits and encourage our hearts unto you. We thank you, Lord, for those who are serving you faithfully and honoring you in the cause of the kingdom, both in covenant grace and throughout the body of Christ. And we pray, O God, that you would touch and anoint your church to be your living epistles, your living and breathing testimonies in this earth, and help us to glorify our Father, which is in heaven. I pray if there are any things in our lives that are keeping us from you, Lord, that they would not be able to restrict us tonight from your presence or any time from your presence. We pray to approach you tonight. We pray that you would meet with us tonight, and we pray that you would share your grace with us in the now. Lord God, I thank you for those who've gone before us, who've been faithful in the cause of God, and I thank you for those who have invested in our hearts and lives. And we pray, oh God, that you would bless those who have given and those who have tended to us and who shepherded us to get to the place where we are today in our walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful day, the beautiful weather today. A little hot, but we thank you, Lord, that it's a good day. Amen. And we just love you so very much. And thank you for your kingdom. As we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for he has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. So I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'll praise you, Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah. I praise you, Jesus. Oh, I'll praise you, Jesus. 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 Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just give you honor. We just give you praise. We just give you glory. We just give you thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for all your steadfast love. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are our hope. You are our song. You are our strength. You are our shield. You're everything, Lord, and we just love you. We thank you for breath today. We thank you for hope today. We thank you for your love today. We thank you for miracles today. We thank you for healing today. We thank you for your grace today. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Get your Bibles out, if you will, and turn to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1. We will have communion in closing this shepherd group later. But let's go to John, chapter 1, verse 1. Once again, anyone is invited here at St. Martin of Tours Episcopal Church at 24th and J Street, 5 p.m. here, and to be with us in this covenant group. I'm so thankful for Vicar Kim and the folks here at St. Martin's of Tours opening up this facility and giving us opportunity to be here in such a wonderful, beautiful place and to worship and honor the Lord Jesus Christ and to have this new shepherd group be a part together here. Amen. Thank you, Vicar Kim. Thank you, folks at St. Martin of Tours. It is a blessing. But John chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to be talking about God the Son, the mediator to the Father. God the Son, the mediator to the Father, the one who made up the gap, the one who gave us an opportunity to have relationship again to Father and to heal the wounds between humanity and deity through the power and the mercy of the cross, that we might know Him, our Lord and Savior, but as well, Papa's love. Amen. But John chapter 1, verse 1, and then, Debbie, would you mind getting John 8:58? John 8:58, I'm going to read John 1:1, and I'll probably read a little bit more than that here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Even though the Son of Man, quote, was seen first in flesh, in the natural, and was given birth as the begotten Son of God through Mary, He was in the beginning, and the Word was in the beginning, and He spoke the world into existence. He is eternal God and the Lord who inhabits the praises of His people. Verse 2, the Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word. So everything that came into being came through the Word. His Word has power. And one thing we have to recognize is that His Word has power. And Jesus was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And His Word and the words He spoke and the Word of God in general is a covenant bond that we have that's an assurity. Because His Word never fails, He doesn't lie, He doesn't deviate, and His covenant is secure, and His Word has power. His Word spoke things into existence. At His very Word, people were healed when He was here in physical form and spoke the Word and said healing to a person they were. He didn't have to pray in the name of Jesus like we do. Hallelujah. We're asked to do all things in the name of Jesus. He was Jesus, so He just spoke as the Word and authority of God. Amen. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. Nothing can be done in your life as a believer in Christ Jesus without the Word of God. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And when we come unto the Lord, We have to embrace His Word, and we know that the Word was made alive and came to be with us, but the Word also gives us testimony and hope, and it is the surety and the strength and the foundation of our faith. When somebody tries to tell you that, oh, I got a revelation from God, I got a revelation, I got a vision from God, and it doesn't stack up to what you know of and you can read and have with veracity found to be true in the Word, it isn't the truth and it can't be the truth, and it is vain to think otherwise. Amen. Verse 4, through the Word was life, and the life was a light for all people. The Word gives life. When you speak this Word, when you read this Word, it gives life. I remember when Debbie was sick with COVID. How the Lord used me to minister to her through just reading the Scripture or reading God-given books. And I've done it with others too, others in the church or otherwise. I've just read to them the Word or spoken to them in their hospital beds, whatever it might be, the Word of God or things from a book that had a powerful scriptural resource to it, and life came to them through the Word that was spoken in that hospital, wherever it was, because the Word has life. And even though they didn't feel like it, even though they could barely move or whatever, the Word had an effect. Amen. And I want you to know, if you'll be faithful and you'll consider God's Word, it will bring life wherever it goes. Verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehending it, extinguish it not. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. Jesus Christ wants to bear light upon our pathway, whereby we can see where we're going in this dark and hideous world. People are stumbling around. People are getting involved in things they shouldn't because they're not allowing the light of His Word to light their pathway. He is a lamp unto my feet, the Scripture says, a light unto my path. So my feet and my direction have no place that can really find sure ground unless we allow Him to be the light and Him to direct our path. Amen. God the Son is eternal with the Lord, and He became man in Jesus Christ. And He declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no pathway. There's no mediatorship. There's nothing without Christ. He is the bridge to the Father. He healed the breach between sin and that which would be hope for each and every one of us. He healed it by becoming redemption for us, to break the chains and the bondage of the enemy, and for the blood to be applied, gave us hope. Amen. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14, verse 6. The question being asked today by many people is, are there many different ways to reach God? Or is there only one true way? Do all of the various religious paths eventually lead to God? This is a serious question. But what we trust and what we have found true is that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'll go through the door of Christ Jesus, you will find truth and revelation. You'll find God. And the Lord will show forth His glory. And you will see the light shine in your life. He is the mediator, definition of mediator, a go-between, or agent who acts to settle disputes. He settled the dispute in our life. Hallelujah. When Satan tried to make accusation against us, and he had the right to make the accusation that we are born and shaped in iniquity and we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God made a way through Christ to intercede for us while we were yet sinners, Christ dying for us, and His blood atoned us, cleansed us through faith in His name. Messiah, another word I want you to remember, refers to the anointed one in the Hebrew language. Greek equivalent is Christ. So the anointed one, or Christ. He is the anointed one. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the anointing of God in our lives. I think many times when you are in the presence of God and you truly allow the Holy Spirit to begin to minister to you and worship, and you get lost in the Spirit in your prayer time, etc., you sense and know the anointing of God during that time. And the reality of His presence. I do not want to be away from His presence. I want His presence to be so real to me. I do not want to be so far away that I do not feel His touch, have His grace, and receive His mercy. The word incarnation next. Incarnation. The act in which God the Son became a man. He became incarnate, and He came to be, and He provided a way for you and for me. Now, John 8:58. Debbie, could you read that? John 8:58.
Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am."
What does verse 59 say?
Then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
They wanted to kill him for that statement. I'm going to read it from the Common English Bible here. "I assure you," Jesus replied, "before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and left the temple. They couldn't touch him. But he made that powerful statement, "I assure you, before Abraham was, I am." Hallelujah. He was the self-existent one. He was the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. And He was the one who spoke the world into existence. It blew these guys' minds away what He was trying to say. Hallelujah. Before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham. I'm dated. He is the one who knows all about it. Whatever is going on in your heart and life, whatever difficulties you're having, whatever struggles you're going through right now, He knows all about it. He's seen it all. He's experienced it all. He's helped people through it all. It doesn't matter what heartache. It doesn't matter what problem. It doesn't matter what situation. He has seen it over and over again. And He is a way maker and will find a way through it for you if you will trust Him at His word. I want to see it. No, you've got to trust Him in His word first. You know, eye has not seen nor ear heard what the Lord has prepared for them that what? Love Him. That's what the scripture says. He loves you. And if you love Him, you'll keep His word. And if you're a keeper of the word, you're going to see the work of witness of God. But you've got to take a step of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have too many people in this world and too many people in the body of Christ. Too many people in the world and too many people in the body of Christ who want to see it first. Show me. Then I'll go ahead. Show me. And then, all right, I'll go ahead and do what you want me to do. No, no, no. Take a step of faith. Take me at my word. That's what Jesus says. Come after me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you've got to come to Him. You've got to come to Him. He always looks for you to make the first step in your walk with God. Matthew 14:33. Matthew 14:33. I hope you're getting something out of this, guys. Amen. This is a good word for each and every one of us. Matthew 14:33. Then those in the boat worshipped Jesus and said, "You must be God's Son. You must be God's Son." Now, what had transpired to give them that revelation? Let's look. Look at verse 22. Let's look at the revelation they received for them to make such a statement. "Right then, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake while He dismissed the crowds. When he sent them away, he went up unto a mountain by himself to pray. Evening came and he was alone. Meanwhile, the boat, fighting a strong headwind, was being battered by the waves and was already far away from the land. Very early in the morning, he came to the disciples walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They were so frightened and screamed. Just then Jesus spoke to them, "Be encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid." Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, order me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water towards Jesus. He took him at his word. He had such confidence, had seen so many things that Christ had done, that he just took him at his word. But when Peter saw the strong wind, he became frightened. That's like a lot of us. We take him at his word, we get started, and then Satan tries to bring a strong wind against us, tries to bring doubts, and then we begin to suffer a little bit sometimes, and we forget the foundation of faith we have in the Lord, and we allow the circumstances to extinguish the miracle that God wants for us. Hallelujah. Hold on, church. Hold on, church. Hold on to your faith. Don't give up. Don't doubt. The Lord is going to bring you out. Amen. Then Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water towards Jesus. But when Peter saw the strong wind, he became frightened. As he began to sink, he shouted, "Lord, rescue me." Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. He'd gone out on the word. He was doubting and fearful. But when he cried out to the Lord still rescued him. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saying, "You man of weak faith, why did you begin to have doubts?" When they got into the boat, the wind settled down. Then those in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, "You must be the Son of God." First it was the walking on the water. Then it was the tremendous miracle of God just speaking in the storms, just dissipating. He is the God who can do it all. But we have got to have confidence in the Word and who He is. Okay? It's the only way His system works. That Christianity works. That the faith works. That the gospel works. By faith we are saved. Not of our own. But by the grace of the living God in Christ. Amen. The Scriptures plainly tell us that He is the Son of God and the Eternal One. The Son existed in the beginning with the Father at creation, and Jesus Himself said, "Before Abraham was, I am." The Son receives worship and shares the glory of God. He's not only in creation, in fact, He's the ruler of it all. We see the Lordship of Jesus demonstrated in many ways, including His Lordship over nature. He calmed the wind and the sea. Disease. He heals the sick. Demons. He expels evil spirits. Life. He raises the dead. What cannot Jesus Christ do? Woo! Amen. Has He calmed the waters in your life? Has He stopped the storms? Has He healed your body? Has He gotten rid of the demon spirits when they were bothering you? Has He raised you up when it looked like you were down and out? Amen. He is the resurrection and the life. I remember years ago, I was at a church and this young man, we were just having a meal in the church. And this young man came up to say something to his mother, and me and a couple ministers and a couple folks were just talking and whatnot. And this young man just took a bad step, just accidentally. And then he fell back and hit the back of his head on a stone, like cement type thing in the right behind him. And oh my God, the blood and the stuff, it was terrible. And he was still conscious. And all we could do was pray immediately. Then his eyes went out And we were nervous, but we kept on in faith. And there was a doctor in the place, and he started to work at trying to stop the bleeding. And he did a great job. He stopped the bleeding. And he took that part of the person's skull that came off, the flesh, whatnot, some of the hair, and he actually used super glue, and he put it back. It was amazing. But the boy ended up being well. We got him to the hospital. Everything turned out well, but we thought we had lost him. Prayer avails much. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you're in that situation, just like those doctors were, you just take what you got at your disposal to make it work, even if it's a temporary fix, just to get through the situation, to get to the other side, to get to the place of total recovery. Amen. And in your hearts and lives, I want you to know there's sometimes a place. There's sometimes a place where you've got to just keep it together for a while. Take whatever you have at your means to hold on just long enough for the Lord to totally bring you through. Amen. Just to totally bring you through. Remember that scripture we just read about Peter. Even though his faith was crumbling, Jesus still heard his cries and lifted him up, and all was well. Could you get Matthew 8, 23 through 37? Matthew 8, 23 through 37. I'm going to get Mark 6, 56. Mark 6, 56. Go ahead.
And when he entered into a boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest on the sea, insomuch that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Mm. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful?
Why are you fearful?
Of little faith. Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him?
Amen. The Lord can calm the seas. He can calm the waves. He can calm the troubles in your life. Here's another example, another water scene, if you will. The familiar story, he's in the bottom of the boat, etc. People are all troubled and worried, but he's in the boat. And yet they're frightened, etc. You know, it's funny that Jesus can be sometimes so close, but yet we just don't recognize it, and we just think everything's falling apart. Hallelujah. I'll never forget as a kid, me and Steve, we were going through something once, everything we thought was falling apart, and we were trying to fix everything up, and somehow we never recognized that standing 6 feet away from us was Dad. I don't know why. We just never, in the midst of the conundrums and everything going on, we just kind of didn't pick up the fact that he was around. And we're sitting, and he must have had fun. I admit, my dad must have had fun looking at us and just probably wondering, okay, when should I step in here, you know? Have you ever been a parent and been that way? Okay, I'm just watching this develop, you know? And that's what probably my dad was doing. And then all of a sudden he showed up and everything was great. And it was like, why did we worry? Dad was there. But think about that. We didn't know he was really there, but he was there. These guys knew that Jesus was in the boat, the Son of Man, God in flesh, and they still panicked. They still panicked. So if you can have the physical presence of Jesus and you still panic, guess what, guys? When you go through the struggles you do, etc., it's not so bad. Come on, you got scripture you can look at and say, hey, those guys. Yeah, look at what they went through. And they had him in his physical presence. Hallelujah. I want you to know there are going to be those times of tribulations. But the Lord is going to bring you through. And he's going to speak, peace, be still. Peace, be still. God the Father was so concerned for man's condition of sin and death that he sent the Son to earth to become man and to deliver all those who would believe in him. The Son of God was incarnated as a man named Jesus. He is called Jesus Christ because Christ means Savior or Anointed One. Jesus was both fully man and fully God. Well, we will examine the importance of this in future lessons. It is important to note that God became man in birth, in development, and in likeness. Birth, development, and in likeness. God became a servant in the flesh and blood, who faced temptation, physical limitations, hunger and thirst, weariness, pain, and ultimately death. Now I'm going to get Mark 6:56 for you. Mark 6:56. Give me one moment. There it is. Wherever he went, villages, cities, or farming communities, they would place the sick in the marketplaces and beg him to allow them to touch even the hem of his clothing. Everyone who touched him was healed. Now, I want to ask you guys, how many times have you really read that scripture or remember that scripture? We remember the time where they touched the hem of his garment. You know, that one scripture. But that was a different story. Look at this. It tells us that at various times, in various marketplaces, people would just want to touch the hem of his garment that they might see the glory and the power of God, dispersed upon them. Amen. Wherever he went, villages, cities, or farming communities, they would place the sick in the marketplaces and beg him to allow them to touch even the hem of his clothing. Everyone who touched him was healed. Did you hear that? Everyone that touched him was healed. Write this scripture down. Put it someplace. Get a hold of it. It doesn't matter where and when. So many times this might have occurred in Jesus' day in his ministry in that 3.5-year time period. And each time they would just bring people in front of him and Jesus would touch them. Hallelujah. I want you to know you just got to touch him today. You just got to reach out. You just got to touch the hem of his garment. You've got to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen. I'd like to say a lot more with that, but I'm just going to kind of read one more scripture. Let's get Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Philippians 2, verse 7. I'm doing this the old-fashioned way, guys. I just got my Bible open and I'm just getting the scriptures. That's all I'm doing. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Galatians, I need Philippians. Almost there, guys. Verse 7. And here we go. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings. When he found himself in the form of a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He emptied himself. I want you to know that Jesus gave it all. He didn't hold anything back for you and me today. And he loves us so much. And he will pour into your life all that you have need of. He is the mediator between God and man. Debbie, could you get 1 Timothy 2:5? I'll need that in a moment. 1 Timothy 2:5. The mediator between God and man. God is completely holy and righteous. Humanity, because of sin, became separated from God. But who can mediate this terrible separation? Who can go between God and man to restore a right relationship? There is only one who is able, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Why is he the only one qualified to be our mediator before the Father? Sin brought a curse of separation and death to humanity. Mankind needed a deliverer, one who could pay the price for sin and to break the curse. But there was no one person without sin, no one who was worthy to pay the price for the sins of man. God alone was holy and without sin. But it was humanity that had sinned, not God. In order to break the curse of sin, a man must pay the price. How could this impossible impasse be broken? God became man in Jesus, and he lived a completely sinless life, though he faced temptation in all areas. He did not ever give in. He never missed the mark. Then he died in our place. He died for all the sins that had ever been committed before his day, as well as for all of the sins that have been committed since then. Thank God. The story does not end there, because Jesus triumphed even over death, rising again, just as he had promised. After his resurrection, he taught his followers about the kingdom of God, and then ascended into heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of Father or authority, praying for you and me. He is our one and only mediator. He's the only door to hope. He's the only door for healing. He's the only door for salvation. Amen. And now I need that scripture. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
There is one God and one mediator before God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank God he became the sacrifice for us. He was priest, prophet, and king. Priest, prophet, and king. Let's get Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7. Let me see what verses I want. 24 through 28. 24 through 28. A lot of scripture here, and there's some more, but we're, I think, getting the key ones, guys, tonight. Hebrews 7, 24 through 28. Hope you're all getting something from this. Reading from the Common English Version again. In contrast, he holds the office of priest permanently because he continues to serve forever. This is why he can completely save those who are approaching God through him, because he always lives to speak with God for them. It's appropriate for us to have this kind of high priest, holy, innocent, incorrupt, separate from sinners, and raised high above the heavens. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices every day like the other high priests. First for their own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He did this once for all when he offered himself upon the tree. He is the priest. He is the prophet. He is the king. He is the priest. Hallelujah. And he became the one, and he offered himself. He's prophet, and he has spoke things into existence, and he has spoken the kingdom of God into existence. And he told them, if you'll just go to an upper room and wait and pray, God is going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit. There is going to be something supernatural take place. And on the day of Pentecost, there was. And he prophesied of his body one day being put to the grave. He was a prophet and a priest and king. The Son is God's ultimate office bearer. He is the supreme example of service to the Father. Jesus is a priest who cleansed the temple in Jerusalem, declaring it to be a house of prayer. And by his great sacrificial death, once and for all, he prepared the heavenly temple. At this moment, Jesus, our great high priest, is making intercession on our behalf. He is also a prophet who reveals God's word. In fact, he is the Word made flesh, and we've already talked about the importance of acknowledging, receiving, and using the Word. Jesus proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God, but also prophetically warned of the coming judgment. We also see in the scripture that all things are held together by His Word. It's sustained. Creation is sustained by the Word of God. There's never been a greater prophet than Jesus. And Jesus is the King, the ruler of all things. He was crowned Lord and King by God the Father. And He Himself declared that He was the King. All authority in heaven and on earth belongs to Him. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews 9, 23 through 28. 9, 23 through 28, since we're right there anyway. 9, 23 through 28. So it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be cleansed and these sacrifices, but the heavenly things had to be cleansed with better sacrifices than these. Christ didn't enter the holy place, which is the copy of the true holy place, made by human hands, but into heaven itself, so that He now appears in God's presence for us. He didn't enter to offer Himself over again and again, like the high priest enters earthly holy place every year, the earthly holy place every year, with blood that isn't His. If that were so, then Jesus would have to suffer many times since the foundation of the world. Instead, He has now appeared once and at the end of the ages to get rid of sin by sacrificing Himself. People are destined to die once and then face judgment. In the same way, Christ was offered once to take on Himself the sins of many people. He will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. One day, He's coming back for His bride. One day, He's coming back for His church. Scriptures talk about being bridegrooms with oil still in our lamp and lit. Excuse me, bridesmaids, more or less. And we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. Hallelujah. We need to trust God that we are in a place in our lives where we're ready for Him at any time in our life and to glorify His name. I'm going to close with Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, what verses? 41 through 52. Luke 2, 41 through 52. And this will be our final passage of Scripture tonight, guys. 241 through 52. Are you ready? Here we go, guys. Each year, His parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When He was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom. After the festival was over, they were returning home, but the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't know it, supposing that He was among their band of travelers. They journeyed on for a full day while looking for Him among their family and friends. When they didn't find Jesus, they returned to Jerusalem to look for Him. After 3 days, they found Him in the temple. He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and putting questions to them. Everyone who heard Him was amazed by His understanding and His answers. When His parents saw Him, they were shocked. His mother said, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Listen, your father and I have been worried. We've been looking for you." Jesus replied, verse 49, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what He said to them. Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. His mother cherished every word in her heart. Jesus matured in wisdom and years and in the favor of God and with people. Hallelujah. He was about His father's business and already showing Himself to be quite the young man. But He also made Himself obedient and was faithful and kind to His parents. And His obedience should be no different than our obedience, both to God and to our human parents. Amen. Even at age 12, it was clear that Jesus was a remarkable young man all were amazed by him. Even the great wise men of that day, Jesus understood clearly that he was to do the will of the Father. And he said this to his earthly parents, Joseph and Mary. Yet he was also able to submit himself to them as the parents to whom the Father had entrusted him. Because of this, he grew in favor with God and all those who were around him. Jesus prayed daily, seeking the Father's will. He only wanted to do those things that pleased the Father, and he was attentive to the Father's voice. The obedient son was not willing to allow death to stand in the way between him and his Father's will. When he faced the prospect of a terrible death on the cross, he plainly did not wish to inflict pain upon himself, but he was willing to endure it to fulfill the will of God because of the joy that was set before him. The Father's will was his overriding motivation. The mediator and high priest had to do this so that we could have that bridge made, that we could have a fresh relationship with God and to know the power and the excellence of inheritance in the Father's love. Amen. Many individuals throughout history have claimed to be messiahs. There are even those today who claim that they are the way to God, or that some novel philosophical approach or notion will bring salvation. But Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. The truth is, we are not the ones who make the decision on who can be our mediator. The Father sent Jesus, his only son, as that mediator between God and man. There is only one way to God, that is through Christ Jesus, the promised Messiah. Only in believing in him can we have true reconciliation, recognize reality for what it is, and know the resurrection life of the Son of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have been able to gather together to share in your word, to receive of your word, to take comfort in your word, to receive instruction in your word, and that you have come to be with us and you have touched our hearts tonight. Yes, thank you, Lord, for physically, spiritually, and emotionally bringing us through and helping us. And Lord, helping us to receive of you that which God, you have granted to us so that we would know you and the power of the resurrection. And that we would know the power of God. And Lord, that we would take of you and feed on you as the word of God in our hearts and our lives. And we thank you for that. Right now, Father, we're going to take of this communion cup and each one here. And I pray that God, you would touch as we receive it and recognize your love at the cross for us and the blood that is represented by this grapefruit juice. And God, this host is representing the body of Christ. We thank you that you have given of yourself for us tonight. Amen. Heavenly Father, forgive me of any sins in my life. Forgive me of anything I've said or done that's not been pleasing in your sight. Help me, Lord, that I might honor you in thought, word, and deed. And I've been battling some things physically. I have surgery on Thursday and just need your touch, God, and that doctor be used of the Lord to see any bit left of that skin cancer in my body removed. And God, this other malady in my lower body, I pray, God, and I pray the healing of God and its dissipation, both that which is in my lower part of my body and that which, oh Lord, I'm dealing with otherwise. And I pray the health of God, the strength of God in both spirit and body. And pray that each and every one of us who take of this body and blood would be touched of God. And that, Lord, we touch the hem of your garment tonight and virtue would come forth. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your miracles. Thank you for your touch. Thank you for all you've done for us. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on Him in heart by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Each one of you and your covenant groups, I hope you're doing this with us right now. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and be thankful. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you for your love. Thank you for what you've done for us. Amen. It wouldn't be enough. No, it wouldn't be enough to buy one splinter on the tree that Jesus died on. For we could not pay the price like He did with that single drop of blood that was shed for my salvation. No, it wouldn't be enough. No, it wouldn't be enough to bow one splinter on the tree that Jesus died on. For I couldn't pay the price for one single drop of His blood that was shed for my salvation. No, it wouldn't be enough. No, it wouldn't be enough to bow one splinter on the tree that Jesus died on. And I couldn't pay the price of one single drop of His blood that was shed for my salvation. That was shed for my salvation. Heavenly Father, thank You that we have been able to gather here tonight in this place. Thank You, Lord, for those who have been faithful. Thank You for You being faithful to us. Bless them, each and every one that has received of Your word, has received of this cup, has received of this body, who's received of You a message from heaven today. Help us all as we go forth this week to love and serve and honor You and be a witness of Christ's love to this generation. We pray for peace and safety and grace for all, and for Christ to be Lord of all. In Jesus' name, amen.